Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We're redeemed through the blood of Christ. And then he says, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. You see what I mean about unequivocal? There's no ambiguity here. Paul is stating in no uncertain terms. We're sealed by God until the day of redemption. Who's going to break that seal?
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, in a message titled, The Certainty of Our Salvation. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Is there anything that could come our way that could separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Paul says, no. I'm convinced that there's nothing. What about the angels? And of course, he's referring here to the fallen angels. What about Satan? What about the principalities? What about the powers? What about the demonic host? Are they able to wrench us away from the Lord? Are they able to overthrow the faith of God's people? Paul said, I'm persuaded that they're not. What about things in the present? Is there anything presently, right now, anywhere that could overthrow the work of God's grace in his people? He says, no, there's nothing. There's nothing in the present. He says, there's nothing in the future. There's nothing as far out into the future as you can imagine. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, there's nothing in the heights. And here he's, what he's really referring to is the universe itself, this vast material universe that we live in, the height of it, the depth of it. There's nothing. And then he, just to make sure we understand how thorough he is in his perspective, he says, nor any created thing. Now, what's in the category of any created thing? Well, the only one in the that's not in the category of a created thing is God. He's the only one in the category of non-created. God's not created. He's the creator. So there's nothing in the category of the created that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The only other person that there is God himself, and we know that God is for us. You see, if we deny this, even if we say, well, you know, yeah, I know nothing can separate us from the love of God, but we can separate ourselves. Are you a created thing? Yes, you are. No created thing. No created thing. But you see, the thing is, if we deny this, we are subtracting from the glory of the redemptive work of Christ. Jesus said to his Father, he said, of all those that you've given me, I have lost nothing except the son of perdition. And he was referring there to Judas. And of course, he didn't lose Judas. Judas was never given to him in the first place because he never was a true believer. But Jesus says, for all that you've given me, I've lost nothing. And those, he was referring there to his apostles. But that was an encouraging word to them. They were safe. They were secure. And God wants us to know that we are safe. We are secure. He wants us to know that he who has begun a good work in us is going to complete it. He's going to complete it. He's going to do whatever it takes to bring you to glory. He's committed to that. We're told concerning Jesus that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He who has begun a good work in you. So God begins a work in us, and he's committed to completing it. He's the author. He begins a good work in us. He's going to complete it. He's the finisher of our faith. God does not give up. God does not grow weary. He doesn't get bored. He doesn't start a project and then sometime later decide, you know, this is never going to work out. Let's just, no, he doesn't do that. He's the potter, we're the clay. Now, he takes the lump of clay and he starts to mold it and shape it, as we read about in different portions of Scripture. And sometimes the clay is, you know, it's maybe too dry or it's too lumpy or whatever, and he'll have to do some things to ultimately work it into the vessel that he intends it to be. But he doesn't discard it. He continues to work with it. And we are the clay on the potter's wheel. God is the potter. And so Paul is, he's absolutely convinced that this is the case. And we need to be convinced of this as well. We need to be secure in our relationship. We need to know that what God started, he's going to finish. We need to know that God's going to bring this thing through to the end. And there are many, many places in Scripture where this same thing that Paul states here in the final verse of Romans 8 is repeated. And I want you to notice, and you're going to see it too in the other passages that I'm going to read you in a moment, I want you to notice that these are unequivocal statements. These are statements that are indisputable. They're unambiguous. There's no question about what these statements are communicating. Now, as you know, most of you anyway, you would know that there is a debate among Christians, and there has been for a long, long time, about the, you know, how secure is the believer? Is the believer eternally secure in the sense that once you're saved, you're going to make it to glory? Or is there the possibility that you could be saved and then lose your salvation? So this is a debate that's gone on for centuries. And the debate does exist because there are a few passages that seem to suggest that you might possibly be able to lose your salvation. But the passages that seem to teach you can't, well, seem isn't really the right word. They don't only seem to teach you can't, they unequivocally say you can't. Now, here's the thing. You can't have this particular thing. You can't have both positions. You know, there are some things in Scripture that you just hold in tension. You can't quite understand, and people oftentimes, you know, God's sovereignty and man and human will or human freedom. These are two seemingly contradicting things, but it's just because we don't understand the greatness of God. And so, you know, if we kind of could, you know, see who God really is, we could sort it out and realize, well, it's not really a contradiction.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
But you can't really say that about this issue here. You know, you can't say on the one hand, you can never lose your salvation, and yet on the other hand, you can lose your salvation. That is a contradiction. And you can be sure of this, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. I don't even think there's any kind of a, I think the reason with the God's sovereignty and the man's freedom, I think the reason there's a problem is simply because people misinterpret God's sovereignty. I think if you get the right view of God's sovereignty, the problem goes away. There's not even an issue, and there's certainly no contradiction. But if we were to say on the one hand, well, the Bible teaches that you can never lose your salvation, then turn around and say, but the Bible teaches over here that you can lose your salvation, that would be a contradiction. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. So having been back and forth on this subject myself over the years, having held to different views at times and argued both sides of this coin, I personally have come to the conviction that because of the lack of ambiguity, the clarity of the statements regarding the security of the believer, I've come to embrace the position that if you're truly born of the Spirit of God, you're, like we're talking about, like I think Paul is clearly saying here, you're going to make it to glory. That's the promise. Now somebody says, oh, but what about those other passages? Well, the other passages, I think, can be understood in a different light because they're not unambiguous. They're not clear and unequivocal categorical statements like we have here. So if you want to argue with me about it, you can talk to me about it later personally. But look with me at some of the other passages that essentially say the same thing that we just read here. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says something very similar. Oh, but wait, before we go to Ephesians 1, let me just back up for a moment and just remind you of the entire context here. Now, remember, as we're talking about this whole idea, how secure is our salvation? How certain is it that we who are in Christ will make it to glory? Paul was absolutely convinced that nothing, ourselves included, could separate us from the love of God and from his purpose to bring us to glory. Remember what he said, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. And remember how we saw, whom he justified, he glorified. And Paul uses the past tense. See, that's a very difficult thing to get around. How do you get around that? Paul sees glorification as already accomplished. It's as done as justification is. So if you want to take away from glorification, you're going to have to do the same thing with justification. And of course, nobody in their right mind would try to say that we're not justified. Well, I'm sorry, that's not true. The Roman Catholic Church doesn't believe that we're justified, declared righteous by simple faith in Christ. So, whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. So as far as God is concerned, those that he justifies, he glorifies. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, you don't have to turn there unless you want to. You can, of course. But let me just give to you what Paul lays out there. He tells us there that we have been chosen. God is the one who's doing the choosing. We have been chosen to be holy and blameless before him. So God chooses us. This is the doctrine of election. God elects us. He chooses us. He chooses us to what? He chooses us to be holy and blameless before him. He elects us to that. So he chooses us to be holy and blameless, Paul says. He then says that he predestines us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. So we're chosen to be holy and blameless. We're predestined to adoption as sons. We're redeemed through the blood of Christ. And then he says, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. You see what I mean about unequivocal? There's no ambiguity here. Paul is stating in no uncertain terms. We're sealed by God until the day of redemption. Who's going to break that seal? God's put his seal on you that have trusted in him. Who's going to break it? There's no created thing. We've already read it in Romans 8 here that can break that seal. And we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So it seems to me that it's clearly saying that the seal will remain intact until the purchased possession is in the hands of the purchaser. Who is the purchaser? God is the purchaser. Now, in the same epistle in the fifth chapter, in the context, Paul is talking about the marriage relationship, verse 25 of chapter 5. Remember, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But listen to what he says. He says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she should be holy and without blemish. Now, I want you to notice who's doing all of this. Christ is doing it, right? So Christ loved, he gave himself the cross, that he might sanctify, cleanse with the washing of water by the word, in order that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church with no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So again, here's the question we have to ask. Is Christ not able to do this? Is he going to be prevented from accomplishing what he set out to do here? What did he set out to do? He set out to purchase for himself a bride who would be holy and without blemish. And notice that the onus is on him. He's going to do this. And just like back in the first chapter of Ephesians, it's the same thing. See, let's back up a little bit. Let's argue from the standpoint of, so if a person is not going to arrive at the predestined place, then logically you would have to conclude they would have never been started in the process. The fact that we get started in the process indicates we're going to make it to the predestined place. See, because remember, whom he foreknew, he also predestined. So you see, God foreknows, and it's his foreknowledge. And so God is, if people aren't going to make it to the end, they're not going to start in the process. So the fact that you start in the process is an indicator that you're going to make it to the end. The predestination, the calling, the justification. Now, of course, we know there are many are called, but not everybody responds because God puts his call out to everybody. But he knows those that will respond, they do respond. And it's those that respond that are then justified. And then according to Paul, they are then glorified. But it's not only Paul who teaches this. This is exactly what Jesus himself taught. John chapter 10. Listen to what Jesus said. Again, unequivocal. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I love this passage. Jesus is talking as the good shepherd. The good shepherd doesn't lose his sheep. The good shepherd says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life. Now, just think about this for a quick second. How long is eternal life? It's forever, right? That's what it means. Could you be given forever life and then somehow not have it? That doesn't make any sense. If you're given eternal life, the life that you're given, it's forever. So if you had something that you thought was eternal life, but you somehow lost it or it got away from you, you didn't have eternal life. Because if you have eternal life, you will have it all the way through into eternity. Now, again, there are passages that, as I said, seem to be contrary. But when you look closely at those passages, unlike these passages, which there can be no other explanation, you can't come up with another explanation for these passages unless you're just going to disregard all proper method of interpretation. But the other passages, without doing any harm or injustice to the passage, you can see them in another way. They're not unequivocal like these. The other passages, most of the time, can be understood in the context of a person who is counted among the people of God, part of a congregation, for example, part of a denomination, a person who's grown up in a church, a person who's been baptized, or something like that, a person who has an outward appearance of being a Christian, but yet is not truly a child of God. And those warning passages can easily, without any injustice to the text, be understood in that light. That these are people, the warnings are to people who are, for lack of a better term, they're pretending to be saved. Now, here's what happens. People often argue from experience rather than from Scripture. Hey, wait a second. I know somebody who I know was a Christian, and they fell away. They no longer follow Jesus. They're lost. How do you know they were a Christian? Oh, they went to church. They read the Bible. They knew the Bible. They witnessed to people. They went on missions trips. I knew a pastor. But you see, we're saying that we know something about them that we really can't know. God knows the heart. And there have been plenty of people all throughout the history of the church who have been in positions of Christian leadership, who have looked like they were believers. And let me give you a couple of quick examples. Judas certainly looked like a believer, didn't he? He looked an awful lot like those other 11 guys that he was hanging out with. He looked so much like a believer when Jesus identified him as his betrayer, the other disciples were shocked. They didn't expect it.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl about this month's Back to Basics resource.
So Cheryl, some time ago, our Calvary Creative worship team, they did a compilation CD of some of the great classic hymns, and we want to offer that to our listeners for this month. And the CD is entitled Monuments, and one of the songs that you really like on there, Cheryl, is the song that was done by one of our worship team, Chaz Celaya. And the song is
All Will Be Well.
All Will Be Well. Yeah.
I love it because it talks about, you know, even though you're going through trials, God's got good intentions and he's going to get you through it. And I'm telling you, I've been through some heavy trials this last 3 years. Yeah. And this song just resonates in my heart. The first time I heard it, I wanted to stand up and just shout.
And it's a hymn by the great hymn writer Fanny Crosby, but it's a modern rendition of it. Yeah.
It's like old meets new, and it just is gorgeous.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the Monuments CD by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the CD Monuments, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Monuments CD, produced by Calvary Creative. We appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.